doesn't instill any fear in people like me because I recognize him as a father. You know, he's a father in every respect to our church. So Hercules, I'm doing this in front of everyone to acknowledge you as our father. And then I also want to say that the last song that we sang is very apt for him. Because in being a father to us, he never lords that over us. He never flexes his muscle in anger or in unrighteous or undeserved discipline. He's in every respect a child of God. And so I just want to acknowledge you too as a child of God, both father and child. You're a blessing to us. I know that you're going to share with us something that we can take away. In dit in Afrikaans ook in die volgende service. See, my Afrikaans is getting better, but I don't know what a service is in Afrikaans. So Hercules, won't you please enjoy your family today.
Thanks a lot, Brett. Can we just quickly stand again, please? Let's give the real honor to God. Oh God, this morning, we want to recognize that without you, we are nothing. We came to this house to give you all the glory. This morning, Father, as we sing, as we celebrate being together, Father, we recognize that you have a plan with each life being represented here. I want to pray, Jesus, that you will come and this morning just take families and make them new. Father, I just saw this picture of, Father, people that even needs to, I see an old car, Father, or old sports car, like a Maserati, Father. I know there's so many negative connotations to that as well, but I just saw that picture this morning. And I see, Father, that this morning you want to just whisper into ears and say, listen, it's time to maybe get rid of the old car and stretch yourself toward my promises. That is even bigger than what you thought of me. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you as my child becoming the person that I've made you to become. And Jesus, this morning we ask that you will come and walk the road with every family being represented here. I want to pray that we will be vessels of honor unto you, that you will be the one that gets all the glory out of the acts and, Father, the actions that we every day do toward this community. And Father, I pray that this morning you will speak into our hearts. Give us the new sports car. Give us the, Father, as the worship team sang, Father, just make all things new. Father, let us not cling to the things of the past and even the dreams that we had in the past. Give us just the beautiful picture of where you're heading with us. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's a great privilege to be here always at Franschhoek. I feel like a son in this house. People like Derek and Rosita and so many others. Tani, Betsy. The other day I drove past her house and just remembered how she prayed for me when I was a young man here in, or still am a young man, but like these interns serving on the campsite here. Thanks for embracing the interns here at Franschhoek. They really feel part of this family and I can see how they are growing. It's amazing to have this family embracing them. I have a word this morning that might challenge you and I hope will challenge you as it's challenging me because God is doing a few things in my heart, stretching me toward where He wants to take, not me just personally, but I believe all of us in a very difficult time. And I want to just tell you, you know, the Church of God is under attack and I can see all over the world that there's a climate of pressure all around. It's not just us as a church group. We must not think that we are so special, that God is only, you know, working in us. There's a lot of pressure that comes all around the world in the Church of God. And it's difficult times, but I can tell you it's also the kind of times where you and I get to be stretched toward where God wants to take us. And, you know, if you look all around the world, I can tell you it's not difficult to figure out that there's something wrong. You know, and I want to, this morning, talk about a man of faith that went through a lot of these things himself, called Abram. A man that was committed to the ways of God, that had a dream from God, and he lived according to the dream, how God exposed his heart and brought him to a place where he had to give up that dream as a seed. Now, Abram came from Ur, which was close to what we know today, Basra in Iraq, close to the city of Magair. And it was a very wealthy city, a city close to the Euphrates River, but also a place that had a lot of idol worship. Now, we know this because we see later on how Jacob goes to get his wife from Laban, and then as he went away from Laban, he took his wife Rachel with him, and Rachel then stole some of the idols out of the house of her father. And her father went to go and get it back from Jacob, and Jacob then said, "No, I don't know anything about it," and Rachel hid it away. But so we know out of history that this area was known as a place of idol worship. It was also a place where the moon god was worshipped for nature. So if you look at the area, this is four generations after the flood of Noah. Only four generations. It took four generations where Sodom and Gomorrah was again established. And I can tell you, it was not so long after God said that the people are destroying the world because of sin and unrighteousness. So it took four generations where they got to a place of confrontation again, where God was looking for a person to start again and standing up and say, "Listen, I want to live a righteous life before God and follow the ways of God so that God can be established on this earth." And he chose Abram, a man that at first was an idol worshiper and was called by God, and listen to this word, Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 to 6. "And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." Now this morning, I can tell you, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of me and my family trying to figure out in this world how to really live a godly life, I can tell you God is coming to us and saying, "Listen, because you have faith in me and you follow the dreams and the ways in which I want you to live, it will be called unto you for righteousness." And there's a few lines that Abram had to step over in order to get to the destiny and the purpose that God had for his life. And the first line was the one of the unknown. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." That dream that God has placed in your life, I can tell you this morning, that sports car, that dream, that new vessel, that new wineskin that God wants to do in your life, this morning, the first step to get there is the one of the unknown. And for Abraham, it meant, "God, I don't know where I'm going, but I want to follow you blindfolded." And therefore, you know, it says, you'll only know God is enough if you have nothing left but God. They face no role models, overcoming Christians, and this morning I'm talking about overcoming Christians, those who sent ahead of others to pioneer a new move of God. They face no role models to follow, sometimes to the extent of extreme loneliness. To follow the ways of God and to be an overcomer living by the righteousness of God means that sometimes you're going to be very lonely. And I see that Christians find it, especially these days, very difficult to live lonely lives. Lives so consecrated unto God that it means sometimes you'll have to go upstream. Against that which the world has to offer, they face existing opposing religious systems that stand against anything God wants to do and establish. Abram had to go where none had gone before. You know, I saw this picture in my own family. My mother is looking after my father. He's got Parkinson's disease, and for what's it now, 15 years already, and he's he's really struggling, and she cannot get out of the house. It's she must be with him all the time, walking the road, and it's a difficult road. But what's so beautiful to me is the way which she handles the whole situation. Because in the midst of this, we had this conversation just about a month ago. She said to me, you know what, I'm so frustrated at this time because I need to really fulfill God's plan for my life. And I said, Mom, you know, it's so precious what you're doing, and I know that God is going to bless you. But Mom, you know what? Ask God what He wants to do still in your life, yet despite of the circumstances that you're living in. She came back to me and she said, you know what? I had this vision that God wants to use me again in school children's lives. She's been a teacher for, 40, 50 years it was. I think 50 years actually. She was a teacher, a preschool, or no, what's it, grade one teacher, English teacher there in Worcester. And she said, God, I only have one thing that I can offer you. I'm a teacher by trade and, you know, by heart, but I still want to fulfill your purpose. Then she went to the schoolmaster at the town there at Claymont, where they are living. And she said to him, if there's any pupil that you have trouble with, just tell me, and I will gladly assist you with extra classes. So the headmaster said to her, you know what? This morning, me and my staff, we went on our knees and we said to God, please, we need help with this one little guy. You know, he's really hammering all the systems and protocol of the school, but we know he's got so much potential, but he's just not fit for a formal schooling. But we need somebody that can just walk the road with him. Is it possible that he can even go to your home, that he can go and sit there and you can help him step by step through all of his work? And she said immediately she realized that even in the midst of her circumstances and the difficult things that she is going through, God is saying that I want you to step out of the known into the unknown so that you can fulfill my promises. And you know what? She's answering prayers because she's obedient. I want to tell you this morning, you know, in order to stretch yourself to where God wants to take you, you must have a step of faith to go there. And it means the unknown has to be faced. The second thing that Abram had to do is the line of the impossible. Hebrews 11, verse 11 to 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. They were about 90 years old. God said to them, you will get a child. Rosita, I don't know, you guys are not there yet, but I don't know if you want a child still. You're still waiting. But you know what? The amazing things, they've got so many spiritual sons and daughters. But you know what? At an age such as this, you know that only God can do the miracle. If he had a promise where Abram had to go to a place called Moriah to say, listen, God, I will go in obedience to go and give the only promise that you have given me concerning my future, I will give it up and say, listen, I'll do it early the next morning. God, I don't know what the answer will be to this, but I know that I'm going to do the impossible because you are faithful in that which you've given to me. Let me just quickly read this scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You and I receive a certain measure of faith, and I want to just tell you this morning, every one of us are in a walk with God to a certain extent of faith. If you've not trusted God for 10 rand, don't trust him for a million yet. It doesn't mean that he can't do it. God has given, you know, little men of faith, big dreams to fulfill. But you and I must get to a place where we can trust God with more and more. And it says here in Romans 1 verse 17, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It's like building a muscle. It must be stretched toward the place where it becomes stronger and stronger within the Lord. Overcomers break new ground. They look at the picture of you. Look at the picture of your workplace, and it must bother you. Can I just say this morning? If you walk into your workplace, and that picture is not bothering you, we must have a talk this morning. Because God wants to change your circumstances through your presence. Are you with me this morning? God wants you to be the salt of the earth to such an extent that you walk into your circumstances. I remember, you know, so many times in my life where God took me into chaos and said, I want you to be the light. And I want to just say to you this morning, to be an overcomer is to get past the line of the impossible to a place where you and I can commit ourselves to say, God, I want to see your picture. I want to see your agenda being seen here. You know, there's so many beautiful people that in this movement is encouraging me, and you said it this morning, Brett. You know, I look at people like Tien's sitting in Russia or Ukraine now, you know, serving the Lord faithfully. You know, there's pastors in the Himalaya network. The other day I was just thinking, none of them, you know, are complaining about the fact that they only get one day per year leave. We complain so easily about our, 21 days? They get one day leave, and if they can afford it, they can actually, you know, buy something for their family. You know, there's people that are stretching themselves in this movement to fulfill God's promises, and they are people of faith. And I want to say to you, the people that you associate with is the person that you will become. Can I say it again? The people that you are associating with is the person that you will become. If you want to be an overcomer, stretching yourself toward the unknown and even above that to the extraordinary, you must surround yourself with the kind of people that goes to the unknown. You know, I love the pastor that was even in this church. You guys will know him, Pastor Anton. He's got 5 kids. You know, him and his wife, I was just thinking last weekend, you know, while all of us are having church, he is sitting in Jerusalem, you know, doing the work of God. His wife is in Namibia, busy preaching the gospel at the Awakened Conference for Namibia. And poor Rachel is sitting with the 5 kids there at home in Stellenbosch. We've got extraordinary men among us doing the work of the ministry. They're stretching themselves beyond their own capacity and saying, God, I need you. You know, I've got this good report just about 2 weeks ago of a pastor from East London going to South America. They preach the word of God, and
was all holy chaos, because everywhere that they went, people just got saved, healed, transformed, so much that they said, please guys, listen, we've organized churches for you guys to come and preach at, but we want you to next time come to the stadium because we need a revival. I'm telling you these things because I think that we are sometimes so fixed on our own little world that we forget. Stretching yourself means that you will have to get out of your comfort zone. Getting to the extraordinary means that you will have to stretch yourself toward a place where you say, God, I want to actually get to the ends of the world. I want to actually get out of my circumstances and my budget to such an extent that, God, I'm not interested even in my own safety. Not to the extent where I'm going to hinder your gospel. God, I want to lay down my life. Johnny, you know, is such a beautiful man of God. I just love him to bits. Because through years and years of faithful serving, still yet at an age of, what is Johnny? 76. Is it possible? Sure, I didn't even know he's that old. Johnny makes me feel very, very young now. Guys, there's people all around you that's willing to lay their lives down and say, I'm willing to go to the extraordinary so I can fulfill the promises of God. And yet, I see a generation that either are so filled with vanity in fulfilling their own desires of the flesh, or the kind of people that rises over their circumstances and say, I want to do what God has in store for my life. I want to fly like an eagle. I want to see God's promises in this lifetime. And I see it. I can promise you there's so many young men like Akim, and you know, they're at the back, the interns, you know, people that are saying, you know, we're the next generation. We're going to do it for God. Now, I'm so excited about this because I can tell you in the midst of very, very dark circumstances, God is raising up a next generation. The third thing, the line of positivity. Prepare for negative feedback when you step over the line. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You know that Abram did not even see this tiny bit of the promise that God had for his life and the dream that God had, you know, for generations to come out of his life. But yet, even not seeing all the promises being fulfilled in his lifetime, he decided to trust God. I want to tell you, you know what? There's so many things that I know God imparted into my life, dreams that he installed into my life, and he said to me, you know, I want these things to come to pass. And I know that it might even go beyond my lifetime, in my children's lives. But yet, I commit myself to fulfill the promises of God. If I receive breakthrough without sacrifice, it means someone before me made the sacrifice. Do you know that breakthrough comes through sacrificial living? My sacrifice might be benefiting somebody else. Temporal sacrifice for future reward. And then this morning I want to tell you, when it gets to negativity and people negative around you, you must live a life of thankfulness. And it's always a choice. Because I can tell you, in the lifestyle that people are living these days, through vanity and fulfilling of the lust, people don't want to be in discomfort. They want to live according to the flesh of their heart. But yet you and I must decide to, even in the midst of our circumstances, rejoice in what God has given us. A life of joy and thanksgiving. And then, the fourth one, the pull of the world, Hebrews 11:15. And I need to run now for the time's sake. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. Everyone on the other side will pull you back. Let me just read this. In one of the most read articles in America, Mark Yoder wrote, "In 10 surprising reasons our kids leave church, based on interviews in Texas, there's no easy way to say this. The American Evangelical Church has lost its, and is losing, and will almost certainly continue to lose our youth. According to Barna's survey, 61% of today's youth have been churched at one point during their teen years, but are now spiritually disengaged." Now, if you listen to all of these stats, then I can tell you, yet in the midst of our circumstances, so easily, crowd pressure can prevent us from becoming overcomers. And we see it in Saul's life. We see it in Saul's life because sacrifice, or if we succumb to the pressure and demands of the world, or of the people, we will sacrifice our obedience to God. Can I just read this? "Confess without believing is being a hypocrite, and believe without confessing is being cowardism." The line of stepping toward God's promises for your life. Number 5, stretching toward destiny. Not being satisfied with stagnation. What we receive by reaching to our destiny is not as important as what we become by stretching toward it. Can I just tell you this morning that faith is a spiral, and it either goes up or it goes down. You either have more faith and faith builds upon faith, or you have more disbelief and you believe God for less and less and less and less. But it's a culture that we establish in our lives that we decide upon. The only way that you and I will grow is by stretching ourselves toward the faith that God has put in our lives. You know, I see it, if a pastor, and we expect a pastor to always learn, is it not so? Because a pastor that is not learning, and I see it all the time in churches, that church withers away. Is it not so? A pastor that is not open to correction and, you know, to stretch himself toward changing and learning new things will make his church to wither away. Is that not, then not the same for us in our individual lives? If we don't stretch ourselves toward the faith that God has placed before us, we will wither away. The right response to stretching leads to a testimony. When last did you have a testimony? When last did you have you been stretched? And then I want to just remind you of the picture of Abram going up the mountain, saying, "God, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing here. God, because there's only one promise and it's Isaac. But I would go early the next morning and I will go up the mountain and I will take my son." And I can just imagine the kind of questions that this son is asking Abram. "Dad, are you sure you've heard the right thing? God did not speak to me. Dad, God never revealed to me that I must die. God never told me that I must get onto the heap of wood. But Dad, if that is what you've heard, I've seen more than enough times that you've trusted God and you've stood in faith. And I know that when you stand in faith and you've heard from God, that God is faithful. He will provide the land." And I can promise you this morning, there's so many times in my life that I want to take control of my life, my circumstances, and sort people out around me. you know, and take hold of my circumstances in such a way that I can organize and I can get resources to fulfill things. And yet, God confronts me and he says to me, am I not in control of your Isaac? Are you with me this morning? My challenge to you this morning is what Abram did in saying, God, I don't want to even have this discussion further. If you say I must give up Isaac, I will go to the mountain. I will stretch myself to the unknown, to the impossible, and God, I will go beyond negativity and even the reports of the slaves and even the murmuring of my son, and I will be obedient to you. Because God, you are faithful and you always do it in my life. And then the one of number 6, keep walking by faith. Genesis 18, where Abram would say, God, please, can we negotiate Sodom and Gomorrah? Can we talk about this city? God, I've got faith for 100, but if there's not 100, can we talk about the 10? God, but I want to be faithful to what you've called me to. God, please spare this city because I love this city and I know that you are loving this city. But I'm a man of faith, God, and I want to do exactly what is in your heart. Let me just read this scripture quickly. John 4, verse 34 to 38. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. This morning I want to tell you, you know, in living that sacrificial life of overcoming, you know, I've seen many kinds of people following Christ. Over the years, you know, I've seen it, and I can tell you, it's actually scary when we see it in our own hearts. And I'm examining myself so ever often to see the different people that follow Jesus when he was on earth, and I want to end off with that this morning. So just quickly give me a chance to end off with that. The first kind of person that I've seen is the one of those who observed his power. They had to witness his supernatural power and be among the crowds. These people want to be in church that has the best of everything. They only want to be in a successful church. John 6:26, and I'm really going quickly through these things. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has sent his seal. Listen to this. The power of God is a temporal manifestation. His presence is forever. Can I just this morning tell you the new deception that I see all over the world is the one of following signs and wonders to such an extent that it becomes an overemphasis on things that God is revealing to us because he wants to draw us closer. And I see in the church and the body of Christ that there's people that's following signs and wonders to such an extent that they always want to be around where the commotion is happening and where God's power is manifested. And I'm all for the power of God because I want to live according to a real God that does real miracles. But I'm telling you that the overemphasis on it brings people to deception these days. The second thing. Those enjoying the meal, they had their physical needs met. They wanted to be blessed. There are people going to church only to get blessed. They will take all they can without the willingness to pay the price of commitment. They believe the church is there for them. so that their needs can be met. John 6, verse 34. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." People that are in church so that their needs can be met. The kind of people that would always, you know, be around the blessings of God. And as long as the church can serve their needs, they are happy. As long as the children's church are happening and the... Are you with me this morning? It's none of you. I know you are an amazing church. You've got it all together. I'm talking to the wrong people here. I'm talking about the people outside of the church. The third one, those pretending to follow his agenda. John 6, verse 15. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Those who wanted strong leadership from Jesus to pursue their own course. They needed him for their own personal agenda against the Romans. It gave them the opportunity to use his mobilization power to stir a rebellion and a revolt against the government. Can I just say, Jesus came so an earthly kingdom could be established. There are some believers that use the church politics to gain positions and control in church government and ministries. They operate in the spirit of witchcraft and sorcery. And this morning I'm very honest with you in saying, listen guys, we don't use the body of Christ for our own political gain, for our own positions. This is the people of God. This is his sheep. The fourth one is the secured ones. The followers that sought a fulfillment for their spiritual lives but refused to acknowledge Jesus as their source of strength, hope, and future. They acknowledged Jesus as their source of joy, peace, and health, but their jobs, careers, families, and pleasures has taken the place of Jesus bringing fulfillment in their lives. Are you still with me this morning? Please keep up with me. The people that are willing to have spiritual lives, but they've got idols. They seem to be more yielded to a worldly system rather than to Christ. John 6, verse 30. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, what we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Number five, those who want to trap him. Those who wanted to trap him in his ways and answers to them. Always in range to clarify things, test his reactions, or frustrate his movement or plans. They sow discord and unbelief among the brethren. They provoke people to continually doubt and reject him. Are you with me? People of God, can I tell you that there's people in the church today that always wants to trap? Let it be not among us. And then, those who follow with fear, those who abandon all to follow Jesus, but unsure of their personal destiny, they cannot rest in assurance that they are saved by Christ. A heavy spirit of fear and anxiety, always feeling inadequate to serve God. Listen to Mark 10, verse 26 to 28. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." And Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Can I tell you that there's Christians in the body of Christ today that lay down their lives and say, "Listen, God, I'll follow you." They've burnt their bridges. They've said, "Listen, God, there's no turning back for me." But yet they don't have the assurance that they have a relationship with Christ. And then the last kind of person, I'm ending off with this. Those who follow because they know. Those who followed him because they truly know or knew who he was. Romans 10, verse 6 to 10. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or 'Will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses, that is saved. There was two words, and I want to, guys, this morning I know this is a challenging word. This is not the kind of faith preaching that we want to hear. There's two words that we've received last week, and for me it's just one of those reminders again. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12 to 13. Oh our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They were inadequate. Can I tell you, you know, when it gets to the church of God, it's strange how it works. You know, even through a difficult season that we as a movement went through the last 3 years, it's strange how it works. People want you to become more organized. They say, listen, the church are not organized enough, so we're not going to support. And then when you get organized, they say, okay, the church is now too businesslike. You're a corporation. You're not a church anymore. And then they complain about, you know, the church being not relational. And then tomorrow, when you are very relational, they complain about you not getting to be productive. You're just never getting it right. But you know one thing? I want to address you today in saying, guys, we need to be like the children of God, standing before God and saying, listen, we can see the enemy. And this piece of scripture talks about a scripture in the midst of a very difficult time of Israel. When they stood with their wives and their children, they said, God, the enemy is coming. God said, I will sort this one for you. And when they looked over the hill, the enemy was busy fighting with one another and killing and destroying each one of themselves in the enemy's camp. And Israel stood before the Lord and they said, God, only you can get the glory. I just know one thing about the church, the body of Christ. God will sort it out. Even in the midst of its not fulfilling the expectations of the world and the worldly systems, I can tell you at least we are trying. I said to a guy the other day, you know what? It's not in a lack of trying. Yes, we get a lot of things wrong, but one thing I do know, that God is satisfied with our efforts. God knows our hearts in following Christ and saying, Christ, it's not because we had it all together, but it's because of you. Despite of us. And then in the midst of our faith walk with Christ, and you know, maybe I should first read Amos 5, verse 21. I hate and despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look. And this was the second word that we received. I will not look upon them. Take away from me noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You know, I want to live in God's communities and I want to see you looking at your community in a different way. Looking at your workplace and say, God, this picture is wrong. God, I want to see your kingdom being established even in the midst of the most unrighteous people that is in my workplace. I want to see them transform. I remember Kobus Versace said to me years ago, the rugby player, you know, I was complaining, I was still, you know, in varsity. And I complained toward Kobus, and Kobus prayed for me, and he said, you know what, I just want to say to you, this is now a load of nonsense. The fact that you are complaining the whole time, the only reason why you are struggling is because you have not stepped out and get enough people saved around you so that you can form the kind of opposition that nobody can resist. I'm not saying this morning we're going to Bible bash and, you know, make the life difficult for people in the workplace. But I can stand in faith. I can trust God for the love of God that will change the hearts of people in society that we are living in. And I want to address you this morning and say, people of God, let's not live so much on our laurels that we forgot that God is in control, that He wants to stretch us toward a place where we can fulfill His promises. That is extraordinary. We've settled for less than what God has in store. Let's bow our heads. Can we stand this morning? Father, this morning we want to step the line. Father, I know that we are inadequate. Father, I, even listening to Brett this morning, Father, I know that there's no way that even us as a leadership, Father, can go to the promises that You have in store for this movement. There's such big dreams and stuff, God, and when we look at it, it's enormous. But You more interested in the road than You are in the destination. Abram was called the friend of God. And God, it was with reason. Abram knew that he had this dream from You, God, but yet there was no way that he would establish it even in his lifetime. And this morning, Father, I pray that You'll stretch our minds toward the things that's on Your heart. I pray for the people of God this morning. God, I pray that You will come and penetrate hearts. Father, I know that revelation is not enough. I know, Father God, that we hear things and we are illuminated, Father, to a place where we start to grasp what You are saying. But yet, if we don't open our hearts and turn it into action, the world is not going to change. And this morning we choose to be transformed. We are challenged this morning, oh God. We don't want to be those who are trying to trap You. We don't want to be those who are using Your agenda to follow our own. We don't want to be those, Father God, that wants to prosper because of Your agenda. We want to be known as the friends of God. Those who know You by heart and know Your agenda and follow that. In the name of Jesus. And as we stand before You this morning, I pray, Father, that You will come and transform hearts. We forget, Father God, even about the time now. And I want to ask You really, guys, just relax before God. This is the most important part of the service. Even if you've not listened to anything that I've said, spending time with God now is more important than anything else. This is an easy decision. And that is the decision that either you fall for the vanity trap and say, God, I want to fulfill my own plans and purposes, or you say, God, I'm giving up control. I want to live a life of faith being stretched toward the things that's on Your heart. If that is you this morning, I want you to raise your hand just where you stand. Just recognize to God. All eyes closed. Oh, Rabbi, Father, this morning, we come and consecrate our lives unto You. I pray for every hand that was raised, that this morning You will bring us to a place of new beginnings. make all things new. Make all things new. Let your presence be in our lives. Let it stretch us to the place where we can really fulfill your promise. In the name of Jesus. We're going to end off this service. I know I'm over time. If there's any one of you that needs some prayer this morning still, we'll be here during the social time. We'll be here in front. We'll be praying for you. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, don't leave this place without making right with God. You know that Abram was an idol worshiper. Until he made the choice to go from the Chaldean area to a place where he said, God, I will go where your promises lies for me. That is a choice that you will have to make. Moving into God's promises for your life. Amen. So don't leave this place. If you need to make right with God, we'll be here in front praying for people. Amen.